and I asked the Father in Jesus' name to heal Robert's back. Now then, since Robert had repented of his sin, and I was praying in complete faith, and the king made us that promise, what do you think he did to Robert? He healed him. Exactly right. Robert got off his bed, and of course, now another thing that complicates this issue a little further, Robert was 1,000 miles away on the other end of a telephone. I wasn't there. I was sitting right over here at my desk talking to Robert on the telephone in Illinois. Now, is there any distance in prayer? No. You don't have to be there. When you ask this question or make this statement right here, I can be on my phone, Pat can be on her phone, Eldon could be on her phone, we can be anywhere and pray that prayer of faith, and if all sin is taken care of and we pray that prayer in faith, Jesus will lift you up out of the pit down there with the serpents and put you back on the pathway to eternal life. That narrow path. He'll put you back on it. Well, you want to stay on it. Now, many of us in our life fall off into the pit, and some of us stay down there for a long time. Some people are down there for a long time. And then finally one day somebody comes along and shares these things with us and gets us healed and gets us back on that pathway. And you may be down there 3, 4, 5, 10 years. And usually when you're down there in the pit, you're down there in pain and suffering. It's just awful what we go through as Christians when we're not on the pathway to life. But I don't know how we miss these things, but Jesus reached down and healed Robert right there with that verse, and Robert was instantly healed. Now then, I haven't heard anything about Robert being sick again. That's been several years ago. I kept up with him for the first 2 or 3 years after that, and then after that I haven't been back in touch with him. But let's go back to Ephesians 5, 18. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Galatians 5. Dave knew what I meant. He's a mind reader. Galatians 5, 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Now then, let me give you an example of how this lust and this fighting that goes on. This was a great story. The other day there was a man sent me an email, and he said, I was driving down the road after I'd been to a seminar on about how to hear the voice of God. Now, I mean, I've heard the voice of God many times. Now, let me ask this question. How many of you in here have ever heard God speak to you? Many of you. Okay, praise God. Audibly. Oh, yeah, yeah. In other words, how many of you heard God speak to you audibly? Something that sounds so audible. Okay, how many of you have heard God speak to you in your spirit? You know he was talking to your man. That's almost the rest of us. Okay, praise God. So he does talk to his children. And so this man, he was not hearing this audible voice, but God was speaking to his mind. He'd been to this seminar, and on the way home, he's praying, Lord, I want you to speak to me. I want to be used of you for your glory. Now, when you ask that, you better be ready for God to put you to work. I mean, he'll do something, right? Sure, if you're his child, say, Lord, I want to be used. All of a sudden, the thought comes to his mind. Stop at the grocery store and get a gallon of milk. Well, that doesn't sound very spiritual, does it? I mean, good grief, you know. I thought you wanted me to go out here and cast out a demon or something, Lord. But the Lord has a lot of more needs, doesn't he? He says, stop by the grocery store and get a gallon of milk. So he just thought, that can't be. So he just drove right by the grocery store. Now, see, he's disobedient. And he heard this again in his mind, go back to the grocery store and get a gallon of milk. Said it was so strong, he had to turn around and go back and get the gallon of milk. And he thought, I don't need any milk. I know I got a half a gallon at home now. I don't need any milk, but oh, maybe I am out. He's trying to rationalize this thing instead of saying, God, I just asked you to use me. You told me to go get a gallon of milk. He should have said, oh, praise God. Thank you, Lord. What are we going to do with this gallon of milk? That's, you know, but he's just like all the rest of us. He's fighting this battle between the flesh and the spirit. The spirit's telling him to do something. The flesh is telling him, this don't make no sense. And so that's the battle that we're always in. But he finally gets a gallon of milk. So he sets it in the truck, pickup or whatever it was, car beside him. I think, well, maybe I did need some milk. I don't know. But anyway, I got a gallon of milk. Drives down the road. All of a sudden, it says turn right on Grace Lane, or whatever the road was. Turn right on Grace Lane. He said, Grace Lane, Lord, I don't know anybody that lives down Grace Lane. So he drives by Grace Lane. And then he hears this voice again say, go back and go down Grace Lane. So he said, I don't know what I'm doing this for. Now, what did he ask God to do a few minutes ago? Use me. And he's trying, and he's not paying any attention. You got this flesh and the spirit. They're lusting against each other. I mean, the flesh is telling you, no, don't listen to that voice. You don't know nobody lives down that lane. So, but he turns around and drives down that lane. He drives down there for a mile or two or three or whatever. And he thought, I don't know what in the world I'm doing driving down this road. I don't know anybody that lives down this road. And all of a sudden, the voice came to him and says, stop here and go to apartment 103. Lord, it's after 10 o'clock at night. I mean, these people look. I mean, is this the way we are?
Yeah.
When the Lord tries to use us, we ask Him to use us, and what are we doing? Arguing with Him, right? So He finally stops, and He finally says, okay, I don't know why I'm doing this, but He goes up to 103 and knocks on the door. And when He knocks on the door, there ain't no light in there or nothing. He just knocks, and when he sees a light come on, say, yes, what do you want? And he says, oh, my gosh, the guy's going to kill me. And he turns to run back to the car, and the guy opens the door and says, yes, what do you need? And he said, sir, I know you ain't going to believe this. I know you ain't going to believe this. But he said, the Lord sent me by here. He said, first of all, he said, do you need a gallon of milk? And the Lord said, do I need a gallon of milk? He said, I lost my job a couple of weeks ago. We spent every dime we got. We got a brand new baby in here, and it's crying, and it needs some milk. And my wife and I have been praying all day for somebody to bring us a gallon of milk. Who was hearing that prayer? The Lord was. Now all He got to do is find somebody that's willing to be used.
Amen.
And see, that's what's wrong with us. As Christians, we ought to be driving down the road saying, Lord, I'm available. What do you want me to do today, Lord? I'm walking on a narrow path, but I'm walking on the pathway that leads to eternal life. Lord, I'm ready to be used of you. You got something for me to do today? You want me to tell somebody about Jesus today? You want me to go cast out a demon today? You want me to go take somebody to town? What do you want me to do, Lord? I'm available for anything. And He'll use you if you're listening. And this man, after he gave the man the milk, he said, you know, the man couldn't believe that he'd come to his door and had a gallon of milk. And he said, well, I prayed and asked God to use me tonight, and He told me to get this gallon of milk. So he said, here's a gallon of milk. And he reached in his billfold, and he had a few dollars in there, and he just took them all out. And he said, here, let me just give you everything I got in my pocket. And then he goes out and gets in the car and goes home. Now then, this battle between the flesh and the spirit is constantly working. Now, in healing, you get a pain or a symptom. In other words, you fall off of that narrow path and you get bit by one of them rattlesnakes immediately when you have a pain. Let's say you got bit by a demon. You've got an excruciating pain in your stomach or whatever. And immediately, you know what the flesh tells you to do? Go to a doctor. Find you a good doctor. You need a good doctor. But the spirit is saying, is there no God in Israel? Is there no God in you? You're a Christian. Is He in you? Yes, He's in you. Then just repent of your sin and trust Him, and He'll heal you. And you think, but Lord, I sure am hurting. Okay, God, I repent of my sin. Be healed in Jesus' name. Lord, I don't feel no better. I'm going to a doctor. That's the way we do it, isn't it, brother? Sometimes you have to give God a little time. Just like that beautiful little girl that was standing here by my side a while ago. I prayed over that girl. I quoted the Word of God over that girl. And let me tell you, the first day I didn't see nothing happen. The first week I didn't see anything happen. But the second week I began to see things happening. But I was not moved by what I saw. That second Monday morning, when Caitlin's still laying there with her face not quite as big as it was, but still cut and lacerated all over, 9 days after the incident happened, with her brain stem severed, her eyes jerked out of her brain, and her skull crushed in 5 places, and a hole completely through her head right here in the middle. I mean, it was just amazing to look at the diagnosis now that there was not an organ in her body that wasn't damaged. And every doctor, I read the reports of three doctors at Cook's Medical Center done a complete diagnosis of her. And of course, her right knee was crushed and her left leg broken in two places. And every doctor said, she's lethal. What does that mean? It's over. It's over. Every doctor said it's lethal. And then that second Monday morning, 9 days later, when Dr. Mark said, I don't know how this little girl's alive. But he said, it's got to be because we got a breathing machine on her. He said, this week we're going to unplug her. And when she deceases, you do not want to put her back on the machine because she'll be a vegetable. I said, Dr. Marks, are you a Christian? He said, no, I'm a Jew. I said, good. My Jesus was a Jew. And I said, you're going to see a Jewish doctor do the best work you've ever seen in your life. I guarantee it. Now, does Jesus say we have to believe with no doubt in our heart? He says, we have to believe with no doubt in our heart. So you notice I didn't say, I hope he'll do it for me. I had to believe in my heart with no doubt that my king was big enough to put that little girl back together. Now, all the time, there's that little man in there saying, you idiot. Didn't you hear what them doctors said? You're making a fool out of yourself. And they all knew I was a fool. And then when your good friends come up and say, oh, Thurman, I mean, your good Christian friends will say, oh, Thurman, just forget it. You know she's going to die. Won't you just let them unplug her and just bury her in the same casket with her mother? I said, no, I'm not going to bury her with her mother. I'm not going to bury her at all. This little girl's going to run and play again. But Thurman, that's impossible. What does Luke 1:37 say? With God, what's impossible? Everything's possible with God, right? So that means you and me got to believe, right? So you got this thing we call the flesh that's saying, you fool. You know she can't possibly live. What did the doctors say? All of them. Whose report are we going to believe? You know how hard it is to stand on God's word when you're hurting? It's kind of like this. When you've got a wife like mine, and that I've prayed for her so many times since we've been married in the 5.5 years, when she has a little problem here or there, usually her problems are little, but you know, when she has a little problem or a little pain or something, oh, honey, come, you got to pray for me, because she's just like me. She don't like pain.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, Flesh and Spirit War Against Each Other, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.